The long and the short of what I want to share with you this morning is this. We as a church are in a place where we are seeking for God to birth within us His dream and His vision for what it is He wants us to do. Not only, Frankie, somewhere out there is my board that I write on and those pens. I'd feel a lot better if I had that support. Thank you. Not only are we trying out here to find an ultimate end of what it is God's wanting to accomplish and do in us, we're also seeking Him for all of the steps between here and there. How many of you know that when the Lord's ordering your steps, it's a shorter line than when you're ordering your steps? Amen? I mean, if we walk in rebellion, I mean, how long would it take from the Jordan to the Promised Land in a straight line? Is it like a week or something, you know? And they spent 40 years out there wandering around, taking what it would have taken for a week to do in a straight line. We want to endeavor to try to move in a straight line to the ultimate end of where God wants us. Now, when I say ultimate end of where God wants us, I'm talking about this side of eternity. All right? I want to make sure that we all understand that. Okay? This side of eternity, what is it that God has purposed in His heart? And please hear those words. For what it is He wants us to accomplish for His kingdom. Not what it is we want to see done. Not what it is we want to accomplish for Him. But what is it He wants us to accomplish for Him? That's the ultimate thing out here. So we're praying and we're asking God, God, give us a vision, give us direction, give us instruction as to where it is You want us to go. What I am believing God for is that between now and the time that Jesus actually comes again, and how many of you know, and we're going to discuss this in just a second, Jesus is coming. Okay? Sometimes, because there has been, at least in our minds, a delay, it's easy for church people or the world, thank you, to become cynical about that. Well, I've heard all my life Jesus was coming. Well, all that means is that we're a day closer. It doesn't mean that He's not coming. It just means that every day that passes, we're one day closer to the time He is coming. Amen? So we want to be careful that we don't become cynical. We want to be careful that we don't let the cynicism of the world infect us. Alrighty? But between now and the time that Jesus comes, I am praying and believing God that we will see a demonstration of the very essence and presence of God in such a way that not only will we feel it, but we will see it. What I'm talking about is, I'm talking about God showed up between the wings of the cherubim and the tabernacle that was in the wilderness, and He hollered out from there and He said, "Hey, Moses, come here." And what I'm saying is I am believing God that He will call us from that inside place by name to go in and actually experience His presence just like Moses did. Now, this week somebody said to me, they said, "You know that question you asked us about if God was in a warehouse in downtown, would you go?" They said, "I misunderstood what it was you were saying." They said, "You said the presence of God was there and it would cost you to see it." And the answer is no, but if God was actually there, and I told them, I said, well, in my mind, I wasn't making a distinction between those two things. Okay? So for anybody who may have misunderstood, I'm saying God Himself show up. Now, we understand that He can't do anything. You understand He can't fit inside His building. You know? But God, I'm talking about, He showed up on top of a mountain. And when Moses left, He glowed with the glory of what he had been experiencing. That's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Now see, a lot of times what we do in the church is we say, oh, we want to see God move. We want to see the blind to see and the lame to walk and the dead to get up. Hey, let me tell you something. All of those things are a byproduct of the presence of God showing up. And what I'm trying to say is this. I want God to show up. And if the blind walk in and walk back out blind, that's still fine. I want to see God show up. Because what I'm saying is, and what is burning on the inside of me, I mean, I am so tired this morning. Because all week long, I've been waking up several times a night with this thing going on inside of my spirit. I mean, even though your spirit doesn't sleep. Sometimes it lets you and sometimes it knocks on your heart and says, wake up. I'm in here doing some things and I want to get it from your subconscious mind to your conscious mind. And I've been, all week long, this thing has just been building bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger inside of me. That a pursuit for the heart of God, irrespective of what His hands have in them. That He doesn't have to show up and heal anybody. He doesn't have to show up and raise the dead. He doesn't have to show up and do anything other than just show up. Because I want to know you for who you are. That's what I'm talking about. The long and short of what I want to share with you this morning is this. I'm calling the church to whatever degree that you are able to do so and in whatever way, shape, form, or fashion that you can, I want us between now and next Sunday to enter into corporately as a church a fast. Now, you can take that and massage it any way you want to. There are some people who cannot fast eating because of physical things that go on in their lives. They have to have, you know, diabetics have to have a certain amount of, you know, food intake. Now, that's fine. I'm not talking about just food. I'm talking about, though, taking something that you really wouldn't want to give up and saying, Lord, I'm going to take this thing and for 1 week I'm going to set it off to the side. I'm going to spend time seeking Your face for two things. And this is what I want to talk about this morning. Okay? For two things. One, what are the hindrances in my life individually from You showing up? And two, what are the hindrances in our corporate life from You showing up? Now, one of the first hindrances is this, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody's got to believe. I am hoping that by the power of the Spirit that the enthusiasm, the anticipation, the expectancy that I have inside of me can be transformed over to you. Because it's got to start with me. I understand that. It has to start with me. But I want you to catch what it is I'm getting. Somebody has got to believe. Somebody has got to hold out hope. Because I'm going to tell you something. The majority of people, now I don't think the majority in here, okay? But the majority of people in the world who call themselves Christians will tell you, well, I would think that even the majority of them would tell you that what I'm believing for is not impossible. Not even possible. Did I say that slow enough? You got it. That it's not even possible. I had somebody one time, I just made this quippant remark that, you know, I'd be willing to do that as soon as a bush was set on fire and talked to me and told me to do it. And someone standing next to me said, well, you know, God doesn't speak to people that way anymore. Who says? I believe that if God wants to set a bush on fire and it not be consumed to speak to you and tell you to take your shoes off, He certainly reserves the right. Now, I cannot tell you I've ever had that experience because I haven't. But just because I haven't had it, because I don't know anybody personally who has, that doesn't eliminate God from being able to. There are a lot of people who would say, hey, that guy's off the deep end. Oh, we experience God every Sunday. We follow along right behind Him as He goes down our bulletin. Now, I'm not being cynical about that. I'm saying that that is the way a lot of, that's all the belief a lot of people have. What I'm asking you to do like we do in our praise and worship. I'm asking you to lift your vision higher. Somebody's got to believe. Somebody's got to hold out hope that this thing is even possible. Let me tell you something. It's not only possible, it's probable. I believe it's going to happen. I believe that I can, in the Scriptures, show you where this is one of the things God wants to do before He comes back, which we may do here in a couple of weeks. But the timing of this thing is really wonderful because during your fasting and your praying, pray for Yvonne Peters. The last two times she's been here, she's really had a word for us. I pray that God will give her the courage to bring whatever word He drops within her heart next week. And us the courage to believe that word, to receive that word. Amen? Remember our definition for courage? The courageous are people who put their dreams above their fears. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something I did last week. Y'all know that I've just recently taken over a new job. The guy that hired me and gave me my job, I was on the job 3 days and he quit. You know what I did? I turned around and wrote his boss a letter asking for that job. Now, to a lot of people, they'd say, that is the dumbest thing I've heard of. Not to me. I put the fear of rejection, the fear of ridicule, probably several other fears I can't even think of off the top of my head. I put my dreams above my fears. I don't call it crazy, I call it courageous. And in fact, I'll tell you where crazy is. Crazy is if he decides not to give it to me. Amen? Because he won't find anybody else who will work harder and listen and try to do any more than I will. But see, people who are not willing to dream are generally people who are not willing to work. They want it given to them. They don't want to earn it. Okay. Let me tell you why I believe. Why I hope. Well, I think the primary reason is because I believe that the Lord's put it in my heart. But let me get back to what I was saying a second ago. I believe Jesus is coming, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think that you can watch the 6 o'clock news, or actually the 7 o'clock national news. I don't think you can watch the 7 o'clock national news and not just see the Bible being played out in front of you like a doggone movie screen. Jesus is coming. And I pray we all live to see it. We're all going to see it one way or another. But I pray it's in our lifetime. I'm going to tell you something. There isn't anything here more important than Jesus coming. Thy kingdom come. Now, I'm not going to get into eschatology because that's just not my forte. Eschatology is the study of end times. I don't have any idea when Jesus is coming. I don't know if it's going to be post or mid or pre-trib or, you know, as the guys down in Atlanta believe, there's not going to be any tribulation at all and no rapture at all. I don't know. And I'll tell you something else. I don't care. I just want Him to come. In the end, the thing that the pre, the post, and the mid, and the no raptures all of us got in common is Jesus is coming. Personally, I believe there's going to be 2 raptures, but I won't get into that this morning either. But I think there's going to be 2 of them. But whether there is, whether there isn't, Jesus is coming. Let me say this also before I move on. I don't want what it is I'm asking for to happen down the street where I got to go down there. I want it to happen here. I'm grateful for the revival in Toronto, Pensacola. But hey, I want revival here. I'm grateful for the revival that's in other people's lives, but I want revival in this life. I want to experience God for me. And that's what I'm believing Him for. Now, during our time of fasting and prayer, there are some things that, this is how I want you to pray. I want you to pray and I want you to say, God, what is there in me that I am unaware and unwilling to face that need to be removed in order to see You? And as I have meditated on that this week, let me give you some things that the Lord has woke me up in the middle of the night and talked to me in the middle of the day about. One of the things we need to be rid of is fear. One of the things we need to be rid of in our lives is fear. And you can take that thing and wipe it all the way across the board. Ladies and gentlemen, fear has a tremendous amount of power to it. Jesus has called us and has given us the ability in His kingdom to be what the Scriptures call more than a conqueror. If you come at me with a sword and I have a sword and I outsword you, I have conquered. But if you come at me with a sword and I don't have a sword and I take your sword from you and then use it against you, I have more than conquered. Do you follow my analogy? The enemy, when he comes to us with all of the energy and power and everything that there is in fear, we need to take that energy and take that power and turn it around and use that identical same power and energy to defeat the enemy. Let me go back to my analogy about the letter I wrote to my boss this week. Ladies and gentlemen, colleague day, it is insulting to say to a person, well, you know, it's just in your personality or the way you were raised or whatever, that you would have the gumption to do something like that. Be on the job 3 days, ask for your boss's job. That's insulting. And I'll tell you why it's insulting. Because you rob all of the truth of the fact that I fought with the identical same fears that everybody else fights with. It's just that I made a conscious decision to fight my way through my fears. It's like saying to Bryce, well, you didn't have to work so hard to become such a great mechanic. I mean, you know, you were just born with the DNA to make you a good mechanic. How insulting is that? To imply that he didn't apply himself to be as good as he is. But what we do is that we make those references towards others to make ourselves feel comfortable about our own laziness. That's what we do. Here's a man that I'm going to have to run into every day coming and going out of this business. And don't think the enemy didn't whisper it in my ear, hey, when he reads this letter, he's going to, and it's wide open from there. Laugh, throw it in the trash can, put it in the shredder. All of these fears coming up, see? But the courageous place their dreams above their fears. And say, hey, if he laughs, I gave him a good thing to laugh about. You understand what it is I'm saying? We take that fear and we fight our way through it anyway. Because there's a fear in just being fearful. One of the things I want us to pray about as far as fear goes is a fear of rejection. Do you know that on very deep levels, there are people who are sitting in this room right now who don't want God to show up because they're afraid that if He does show up, He'll reject them. And if the first thing across your mind is not me, then you may be closer to it than anybody else. We have to pray, God, I don't want a fear of rejection, because I'm going to tell you something. A fear of rejection from God is a lie from the devil. But we can see, guys, but there's a lot of difference between going, yeah, that's right, in our heads and going, yeah, that's right, in our hearts. Because when the lights are off and it's quiet and we're laying in the bed and we're staring at a dark ceiling, our consciences remind us of why it is the enemy whispers in our ear as to why it is God needs to reject us. And many times what we do is we lay there on our backs looking at a dark ceiling, giving power to the enemy's voice by agreeing with him. I'm just really grateful that Ted over here doesn't know what I did so-and-so time ago, because if he knew, he wouldn't be my friend anymore. And we take that same thing, we take it right over to God. And we know that God knows. But how many of you know that if I've hurt Charlie's feelings and I know that Charlie's hurt my feelings, or that I've hurt his feelings, that's what I'm trying to say. How many know that if I've hurt Charlie's feelings and I know I have, there's a difference between sitting at home and knowing I've hurt his feelings and running into him somewhere. I'll go out and around and try to avoid and make sure I don't run into him somewhere. See, that's the way we play with God. Oh, we do those little things. We come to church and we read our Bibles and we talk the talk, you know. But on a level somewhere, many believers are afraid of being rejected by God. And let me just say this before I move on. Nobody understands the fear. I start to say the fear of rejection. I'm not going to go there. Nobody understands rejection any more than Jesus does. Let me tell you about another fear. The fear of change. Let me tell you something. When God shows up, things are going to change. You can take it to the bank and make yourself a deposit. When God shows up, things are going to change. In fact, when God shows up, everything is going to change. There won't nothing be like it was. But you see, one of the things that sin has done to us is that we would rather be comfortable in an uncomfortable situation than we had to pay the price to change it. I don't understand what he just said. Let me tell you this. There are wives who are abused physically by their husbands who stay in an abusive relationship because they're more of afraid of being outside of the relationship. Now let's just take that down into where we live. Things are not like I'd like for them to be. But God, deal with my heart during this time of fasting to where I'm more willing to pay the price to be different than I am willing to pay the price to stay where I am. The only constant in life is change. Another fear is the fear of loss. Sometimes we might be afraid that if God shows up, I'm going to lose something I don't want to lose. Well, let me just settle the issue right now. When God shows up, you probably will lose something you didn't want to lose. Let me rephrase that. When God shows up, you're going to lose something you didn't think you wanted to lose. But the only reason He takes it is because you really wanted to give it. You just may not have known you wanted to give it. God, when He shows up, will not only change things, His fire will burn the chaff off the floor. And then lastly, I made a note under fear of the fear of God Himself. We may not want God to show up because we're just afraid of God. Dad and I were discussing this. We went to lunch the Thursday before Father's Day. And I was telling him about this thing I'm working on in my head. And right now what I've phrased it is, Jesus, our Father, which art in earth. Somehow or another, ladies and gentlemen, we have God over here, and we have Jesus over here, and ne'er shall the twain ever meet. Jesus, He's like this. He's loving and kind and forgiving and compassionate and graceful. God, well, you know, He's just also like God. And what I want you to see is there's no difference in their natures at all. Differences in their responsibilities, differences in their positions, not a stitch of difference in their natures. There's a woman coming out of the city. Her only child has died. Everybody's wailing and lamenting and crying. And Jesus looks up and He goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" And God says, "I'm healing that boy." And Jesus says, "Oh, I can mimic that." Some of you are looking at me hard. Is that what He said? He said, "I only do that which I see the Father doing." He only walked up and said, "Weep no more," because what He heard His Father say was, "Weep no more." It was not an initiative on His own part. And we all want to stand around with little goosebumps jumping up on our arms and go, "Oh, Jesus over here is so wonderful. He's so compassionate. He healed this woman's only son." Hey, God is a mirrored image. And God is a mirrored image of Jesus, and Jesus is a mirrored image of God in their natures. But somehow or another, we want to keep the two of them separate. Boy, y'all are looking at me hard. Because you want to keep them separate. Let me tell you something. We do not have to be afraid of God. Yes, we do. He's the one sitting on the throne. He's the judge. Now, see, here's where religion jumps in, okay? According to the Scriptures, Jesus is my advocate. Don't need to be afraid of Him. He's on my side. But see, God's not on my side. Yes, God is on your side. If God wasn't on your side, Jesus wouldn't be on your side. You see how we've twisted and warped, though, this whole thing? We want God to show up. Alrighty, let me move next from fear to this next thing. Resentment. I want you to pray and say, "God, is there any resentment in me towards, number one, You?" "Oh, I don't resent God." You better think about that. No, let me make another suggestion. You better pray about that. Because there are times when things happen, have happened, and we blame God, whether we do it out loud or not. We blame God. And we don't call it resentment, because Lord knows we wouldn't want to use that word. But we hold this, can I use this word, grudge inside against God. "Can't believe my marriage fell apart. Can't believe my child's sick. Can't believe I lost my job. Can't believe I was, let's bring it on down. Can't believe I was involved in this automobile accident. I'm tired of fighting week in and week out and week in and week out to make the money match the month." And sometimes overtly and sometimes subtly, we develop a resentment towards God because of something in our lives that we are unhappy with and unsatisfied with. Now, if you're sitting there going, "Well, I wish he'd move on to the next point. I ain't got nothing to do with that." I want you to pray. I'm not saying there is. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm asking you to open up the possibility to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, that if it is there, He can bring it up. The other resentment, of course, is the natural ones towards others. Now, having said those two, let me tell you a story. A true story happened this week. This is really on a very personal level. I spoke to someone this week, and they were saying to me, I was telling them, "Hey, Well, let me say this. They opened up the door. Okay? I don't believe in building doors and opening them, but I believe in walking through open doors. They opened up the door, and I said to them, let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you only because I love you. You don't have a choice. God's put His hand on you. He's called you. He's settled in the eternities that you're coming. And the only decision now is, when are you going to quit kicking against the pricks? That's the only decision. And they said back to me, I hate going to church. I said, why? He said, they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. I said, all right, I'm not going to tell you that's not true. He said, I can go out on Friday night down to a bar and find nicer people than I find at church. I said, probably so. He said, of course, that disarms them, because they're looking for an argument. But you know, hey, down there when everybody's drunk, they're all happy, and, you know, and just having a big old time, you know. And they are being real nice right at that moment. Let me give you my definition of a good old boy. If somebody wasn't going to a public bathroom, stick their head in it and throw up. That's a good old boy. And I call it insane. But here's what I said to them. I said, you got your people who are in the world. And when they die, they're going to hell. You got people who come to church, call themselves Christians, and when they die, they're going straight to hell too. And what you've said is that because of this group, I'd rather hang out with this group and all of us spend forever in hell together. Now you tell me how much sense that makes. They were going, I said, do you put me in this group right here? They said, no, I don't put you in that group. I said, then won't you come go to heaven with me and spend eternity with me instead of going to hell with all these people here? They have a resentment towards this group down here that needs to be dealt with. Now, what happens when you're in a conversation with somebody and you make such perfectly good logical sense that they don't have any argument to come back with? What do? They start throwing the kitchen sink into the conversation to try to divert you. So they said to me, aren't you mad at God? I said, not that I'm aware of. Now, hey, I have been. I remember vividly, like it was yesterday, times in my life where if He had shown up, I'd have jumped dead on Him because I was so mad. And we'd have been wrestling all night. Of course, we know who's going to win that one. But hey, how many of you know there are times when you are so mad, it doesn't make a difference whether you're going to win or lose. You're going to get it out. You're going to jump anyway. I've been there with God. But I said to this person, you know, to the best of my abilities right now, as far as I know, I'm not upset with God about anything. And you know what they said to me? What about your daddy? So what about my daddy? They said, aren't you mad about the dementia that your daddy has? Aren't you angry at God about that? Now, there's a question you better stop and think about. Because I could be and not even know it. Hello? I said to them, I don't know, but I will pray. And from that conversation to this one with you, God hadn't brought up anything about that at all. So I really don't believe I am angry about it. But in their endeavor to try to change the conversation, I said to them, I can't be angry at God about my daddy because He ain't my slave. He's not my bride. I don't own Him. There's another who owns Him, who has the right to do with Him as He pleases. And Jesus said, "Peter, do you love Me?" Peter said, "Yes, and yes, and yes." And Jesus said, "Well, then feed My sheep." And Peter said, "Well, what's He going to do?" And Jesus said, "That ain't none of your business." Now, what I do say is I say, "Lord, He ain't none of my business, but I sure do love Him. I wish You'd heal Him." But what Jesus does with my daddy, with my mother, with you, you ain't mine. I don't own you. Even my wife is not my own. Hello? Even my wife is not my own. And what you do with your own, Lord, is yours to do with your own. I don't understand why you do some things you do. But it doesn't change the right that you have to do. Lord, keep me from being resentful towards You because of things I don't understand. And that's what I'm asking us to pray. And see, hey, let's be sure we all understand here. A fast doesn't obligate God to anything. All a fast does is bring up the junk that's inside of us so that we can deal with it to clear the way between us and God. Some things I want us to pray about is fear, rejection. And then there was two other things that God spoke to me about. Oh, Lordy. How many of you know the Lord, when He speaks to you, can get real personal? He said to me, "I want you to be sure that you don't want Me to show up to validate you." Now let's think about that for just a minute. We need to be as secure in our love for Him and His love for us, whether He ever shows up or not. We do not need to... Golly day, I cannot figure out how to say this to you. Here's the timeline when God shows up. Here we are. Now. Okay? The result of God showing up on this side will bring about some natural validation to it. What I'm saying, though, is that we don't need to seek God in order to be validated. It once again gets back to the thing of if a blind person comes, experiences God, and walks back out blind, that's fine. Now, we talk about that on a physical level, we all go, yeah, that's right. I'm talking about now on an emotional level, it's the identical same thing. Let's say that I have back here a sin that's in my life. I believe that at some point God drew a line in the sand and forgave me of my sin. On this side of the line, though, there's always that little bitty nag that says, "Well, maybe." So what I do is I pray and I say, "God, I want You to show up, because if You'll show up, it'll eliminate that nag." What I'm saying is it's okay for God to show up and eliminate the nag. It is not okay for us to want God in order to eliminate the nag. I want us to pray and to fast and say, "God, I'm not asking for You to, I want You to help guard my spirit against me seeking You in order for validation for me." You understand what I'm saying? Okay. All right. I believe You do. I'll go on. And the other thing is, "God, I don't want You to show up over here so that I can exploit You." Exploit God? Yeah. What we do is we get these huge hot dogs. And we set us up a stand outside. We'll call them God dogs. Hey, come see God, and on your way in, have a hot dog. This is a God dog. Want chili and onions with that? Now that sounds almost ridiculous for us to say. But I'm going to tell you something. It's easy to exploit the presence of God, or easy to exploit the possibility that God might show up. Because He did show up, and they went thousands of years running commercials in the place, running enterprising businesses in the place where God did show up, taking advantage of people, hoping that God would show up again. And when He did show up again, though, He showed up in a way they weren't expecting. He was wearing blue jeans and a flannel shirt and had his sleeves rolled up, and He took a whip and He ran their hineys out. That was not exactly the commercial that they were running. But they were exploiting the possibility that God might show back up. We need to be sure that our hearts are pure before God, that we don't want Him to show up in order to exploit Him for whatever reason. And let's just get real honest and real personal for a minute. Okay? God, sure would be nice for the room to be full. If You'd show up, I'll bet it'd be full. Well, then I ain't coming. God, we got about 2 months of reserves in the bank. If You'd show up, I bet there'd be more money, then I ain't coming. God, it sure would be nice to be able to go to work on Monday and go, man, you won't believe what happened yesterday, then I ain't coming. See, it's real easy to exploit God. What God says is, I'm going to show up. I'm going to show up when all you want is for Me to show up. Now let's do one other thing, and I'll do this in closing, okay? I want everybody to get at least one hand free where you can raise it. One hand free where you can raise it. And what I'm going to ask you to do is this. Put your hand down by your side, your free hand. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and hold your breath for absolutely as long as you possibly can. And when you cannot hold your breath anymore, I want you to take a breath. And I want you to raise your hand until the last hand in the room is up. Everybody ready? One, two, okay, one, two, three. I've got to get me a deep breath. Go. Anybody still holding a breath? Okay, a couple of you are. Okay. Those of you who are breathing, raise your hand. That way, and hold them up until I see every hand up. Some people are still not breathing yet. It's all the blowhards in the room. I still got a couple not breathing yet. I think I'm down to three. Nope, down to three. I think I'm down to... Okay, now I'm down to two. I'm down to two. Okay, I'm up to three now. I'm down to two now. Down to two. Keith and Wes. Don't pass out on me. Down to two. I don't know how in the world you can hold your breath that long. Okay. All right, you can breathe now, Keith. You were the last one. Let me tell you what the point in the exercise is. The point in the exercise was this. You get to a place where you want to breathe, and you're still holding it because you're not wanting to quite let go of it, except for those of you who bust out laughing, because you just don't want to quite let go of it yet. But when you do let go of it, the first thing you want, more than anything else, is to grab that breath. What I'm asking for in this week of prayer is for our spirits to get to that identical same place. to where every fear, every rejection, everything is so totally cleared and totally out of the way that just like you couldn't wait to go and catch that breath, you can't wait to see God. Am I dreaming? God knows I hope so. Am I crazy? Yeah, crazy enough. Do I really believe it will happen? Yes, I do. And I'm going to tell you something. When it happens, I pray to God, I will not feel validated. God, keep me from myself. That I won't feel validated in any way. But that when He shows up, and gosh, I feel like I have to cover my hiney in everything I say almost. You understand, He's here now. But I'm talking about when there is a manifestation of His presence in such a way that we all catch our breath. That's what I'm looking for out of Him. Because I want to be in that presence with Him. Why? To be in that presence with Him. Why? To be in that presence with Him. Well, that's crazy. No, that's heaven. That's heaven. To be in His presence with no ulterior motives anymore. Sure adds a whole new thing to it. Oh, I want to go to heaven, doesn't it? Do you really? Sure takes a lot of emptying of ourselves. It adds whole new meaning to, this is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. When we get to the place where we understand what it means when David said, as the deer panted for the water. As Don got to the place holding his breath, that all he wanted was a breath. So my soul longs after thee. When we get there, we'll be where we need to be. Let me just make this one other comment in closing. This morning, I don't remember even what the conversation was about now. We were joking about something where we said, well, you know, everybody did it this way. And I made the comment, I didn't. I must be the only one who was right. I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. And there's just a few who really want to see Jesus face to face. Who really want to experience the presence of God in their midst. There's just a few. But just because it's few doesn't make the few wrong. As a child, I would use as an excuse to want to do something to my dad. Well, everybody's doing it. And if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times. Son, that's the best reason I heard for not being involved. Because everybody's doing it. One of my favorite authors is a guy named Arthur W. Pink. And I'm a Pinky. And there was a famous evangelist back in the days when Arthur Pink was writing his letters and commentaries and things. And someone wrote Arthur Pink a letter and said, what do you think about so-and-so? And Arthur Pink sent back a letter that said, he attracts large crowds, always a bad sign.
That's all he said. Straight's the gate, narrow's the way, and few. The majority of people are not going to want to fast and be honest with God. God, please show me inside of me. If you have to wake me up in the middle of the night to bring from some level deep down inside up to my awareness something that I am not aware of, you feel free to wake me up. You feel free to talk to me at any point and bring out anything that's standing between me and you. And give me, God, the courage to face my fear head on. To be honest with myself. About what really is inside of me. Give me that courage. And I believe that God will meet us. Amen? Let's pray. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not asking you to get real with me. Because getting real with me won't change anything. I'm asking you to get real with Jesus. Because being real with Him will change things. Oh, it's at least on some level great to hear. We want God to show up, to think, well, maybe He might. But we need to get past that. And get to, that's what I want. More than the air that I breathe. I want Your presence in me. I'm going to ask you with your heads bowed and your eyes closed right this moment to think about this fast. Right where you're sitting. Make a commitment, not to me. I'm not going to ask you what it is. I'm not going to ask for any show of hands because that won't make any difference. I want you to make a commitment to Jesus right at this moment as to what it is you're willing to do. And I want you to ask Him, Lord, in laying this down, I want to open myself up to be ministered to by Your Holy Spirit. Don't let the enemy trick you into believing that something you hear from God was intended for you to share with someone else. God brings instruction to you because He's instructing and correcting you. God, give us the courage to hear, the courage to follow. God, we do pray for every step of the vision that You have for us. We're not asking You, Lord, to lay out a 30-year plan because we know You're not going to do that. What we are asking for is that our steps would be faithful to the walkway which You are unraveling in front of us. And Father, we want to pursue You with a whole heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, Ray. Okay. All right. The Lord bless you then. Have a great week and look forward to seeing you next week.